I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You can still claim your free audiobook when you sign up to a free one-month trial of the Audible service when you go to audible.co.uk/footballramble. You might choose Pete's favourite audiobook, Bright Lights, Big City by Jay McEnany, or you might choose Luke's favourite audiobook, Digital Fortress by Dan Brown, or one of nearly 60,000 titles. Go and claim your free audiobook at audible.co.uk/footballramble now.
Ooh, it's the Football Ramble.
Get your guns out, girls and boys. It's the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus, and I've got Jim with me.
Hello.
Pete.
Hello.
And Luke.
Here I am. All
good
right.
To have you here, chaps. Always a pleasure. Now, we're going to start with a question, which is all about changing names. Ex-spy George Blake, I think we remember him, had to change his name to Georgi Ivanovich to fit in when he was in the Soviet Union. Can you believe? If you had to change a foreign footballer's name to make him fit in to the UK, who would you choose and what would you change his name to, Jim?
Well, an obvious one would be Luka Modric to Luke Moore.
Oh, no. Very, yeah.
Would work, wouldn't it? Would make sense.
You've got my attention. Please continue.
But I think I would go for, as my actual answer, I would take Andrea Pirlo, change it to Andy Peters.
Yeah, nice one. Yeah, great start. Pete?
I'd go for Jan Vennegaard of Hesseling.
To James Bond?
To James Venables of Hull.
It's very good, to be fair. Another welcome return to Vennegaard of Hesseling.
I wouldn't like to say that.
No.
John Venables of Hull.
Would you not?
Just pick one of them. Venables or Hull.
That's what he's gone for.
Okay.
Yeah. Luke.
I'll go for Andre Sharvin.
Yes.
Andy Archer.
Oh, sounds okay. Like a sort of old music call into
play. Yeah, I'm Andy Archer. Yeah, it's great.
I was going to go.
Oh, I'm like a little funny owl.
I was going to go for Chris Ronald.
Yep.
Yeah. Ronald's good. Yeah.
Or. Gonzalo Higuain, George Higgins.
Yeah.
George Higgins sounds like he would have scored an absolute hatful.
Yeah,
like
in the interwar period.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I like that it was Chris Ronald and then just Ronald.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have Ronald, couldn't you, on a number of...
Fred.
Yeah.
Just Fred.
Fred.
He's getting a mention later.
Paul. Yeah. Paul instead of Pele.
Yeah.
Chris.
What's your name,
the Brazilian
Paul?
Defender. Chris could just stay the same as well. We were talking earlier, actually, about Brazilian names and how they should... Isn't there one called Gum?
Fluminense have got a player called Gum, yeah.
Yeah, I think Brazilian nicknames from now on should just be of objects and things like that. So you'd have, like, a striker called Hat.
Table.
Table. Where would Table play?
Keep on the deck. Keep
on
the deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be really tidy.
Road. Just back.
Road.
Through the middle.
Cloudy.
Why not? Dolphin.
Cloudy, he wants a ball in the air.
You could have like ideas as well, or like, you know, a concert. Ennui. I am ennui.
Oh, French Brazilian. Yeah. Very good.
I think Pete's going to get the points.
Yeah.
For that.
Back on the table.
Back on that table. Right then, let's go to the Premier League. We're going to start with Manchester City 2, Spurs 1. Ooh, Spurs. Is anyone ahead? And then Manchester City. Pegged them back. Super sub Edin Dzeko came off the bench again.
I was about to say, whatever you say, Edin Dzeko's definitely not a super sub.
No, absolutely not.
You're gutted about that. Absolutely gutted about it.
It was a very good win for
presumably him. he just prefers sub then.
But it's getting to the point soon where when he scores again off the bench, he's just going to go fucking hell.
Can you just call me super
footballer? This.
He can't win because he's never going to start. So, but if he doesn't score. He's still not going
to
start.
But is it maybe in his best interest to stop scoring?
Yeah.
Why doesn't he just play, like, the minutes that he's spent off the field, he plays it at the end of the match when, after the referee's done his whistle thing, And then people could just watch him. And go, yeah, well, I played the full match. So shut up, yeah.
Carry on.
Yeah.
Well, according to reports, Roberto Mancini met Radamel Falcao's agent, so that is even more annoying for Edin Dzeko. Yeah.
But that's a really, really odd one, because surely you wouldn't play Falcao and Aguero together.
Why would Falcao want to go there? I know, like, you know,
money.
He will have had offers at the start of the season, surely. It just seems weird that he'd want to just sit on the bench like every other
player. I think few clubs would be able to afford him, though.
Yeah.
Very few. But it was a good win for Manchester City, 2-1. Aguero's got a lovely little one, didn't
he? Of course he did. Brilliant.
We'll do that.
Somehow underrated, I feel, Aguero.
Do you think?
Yeah.
By who?
But I don't know. I just think we should be screaming from the rooftops about how brilliant he is every single day.
Yeah.
Leave my mates alone.
Okay.
Oh, he's got a 99 on FIFA.
Well, don't really know what that means. Spurs unlucky, Luke?
A wee bit. It's interesting to see the amount of teams that lost after playing in the Europa League. And that's happened quite a lot. And they did seem to run out of steam a little bit. But to be fair to Mancini, he changed the formation around, didn't he? Brought Maicon on, which looked like a bit of a gamble.
Yeah.
And when he brought Maicon on, the Spurs fans were like cheering, ironically, because of what Bale did to him in the Champions League.
Yeah.
And he actually played really well when he came on.
He's a good player.
Of course
he's an excellent player.
He's Maicon, for
He's a terrifying player, is what he is.
I mean, I forgot they had him, to
be
honest.
Exactly.
I was
like, yeah, I did. Claire, isn't it? Like, a lot of their signings, you forget they even made them.
Rodwell.
Yeah. Big Jack Rodders.
Rodney Roddles.
Yeah. Rodney Jackwell.
Ron Roddleston.
Another prolific scorer in the interwar period. Yeah.
We haven't started the show, have we?
We're the super sub of podcasts. We only start getting good halfway through.
That's very true.
Is Gareth Bale a bit of a terrible man?
Why?
I don't know, he's got an annoying face, and I don't like that paternity leave business that he did.
What was the paternity?
Well, he obviously pulled out of a squad because of the birth of his first child, which is fair enough, obviously.
What a knob. Terrible bloke.
No, I don't mean that.
Terrible prick prick.
So I can't believe you think that, Luke.
Just edit that there, Pete. Yeah, that's what you usually do. I normally make loads of really good points. Then make it in. Anyway. No, but then he took like paternity leave, so he wasn't going to games and stuff. And it's like, well, you only train for like 2 hours a day. Get on with it.
I don't know.
Right. Tweeting everyone.
It's an EU directive, Luke. Yeah. So fall in line, sunshine.
No, I prefer responsible farmers.
I'm trying to weave a narrative into Gareth Bale with a terrible block because I don't like his face that much.
I've got about his ears getting, getting pinned back.
Yeah, they were pinned back. That was exclusively on this show.
And other.
What I mean is, we guessed that happened and it actually turned out to be the case.
Yeah. and then some publications said it too.
City should have had a penalty, should they not? The Huddleston one? It was a really, really blatant penalty. Got me wondering about that because it's so blatant. I wonder if referees have just lapses in concentration and sort of go, oh, something's happened. Don't know what it is. What, can't give it.
Yeah, maybe.
It's like the only explanation for it. Because we all have that, surely. You have little brain farts.
It's not that surprising. I mean, top players do that, don't they? Put the ball wide of the post and whatnot, so why wouldn't the referee?
Indeed.
Get off their back if they make bad
decisions.
They
probably just sort of think, right, who else is refereeing that I know this weekend? Who's going to fuck up more than me? His clatter's on.
Yeah, and then the whole crowd,
it wasn't the worst refereeing decision of the weekend because that was reserved for Danny Rose's doubled.
What the hell?
You see that? That was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. He was double body checked by two players and got booked for diving. He's only about 5'4".
Absolutely.
What's he going to do?
It's a disgrace.
It's a fucking disgrace.
Danny fell.
Actually, I once saw a guy I know who's mental having a row with his girlfriend at a wedding, right? And he was so bored of it, rather than end it or walk away, just threw himself into a bush just to get out of the situation. And in a way, that's a dive. So maybe Danny Rose had done the same sort of thing.
Dive, yeah.
I like to think he's still in there.
Thrown himself in between to get the free kick.
In a rose bush.
Seems unlikely. Yeah. A rose bush, indeed.
But Manchester City did win.
Yes.
After all that. Manchester United also won after going 2-0 down at Aston Villa. Wijnaldum scoring a couple of goals.
Both of those goals came back out of the net.
Yes, well, I think
brilliant.
He hit the stanchion, didn't he, at the back? The first one definitely did. Yeah. But did you think there was a foul in the build-up to that goal?
What, on Smalling?
Yeah, because I really didn't think it was.
Not a chance.
No, there was a bit of noise made about that, but I thought Smalling tried to shoulder him.
Yeah, Smalling basically
bounced back off it.
For me, made a ridiculously naive defending error, where he's got Benteke in maybe not his right back position. He's come across the cover. Stand him up.
Stand there.
You make him beat you. Don't dive into a guy who's basically an oak tree and be surprised when you hit the floor. And the worst thing was, when he saw Benteke get away, he tried to pull the old Busquets and go, like he was in loads of pain. And the referee was like, come on, son. You know what you've done. You know
what and that'll be 1-0.
But I thought that United, it's so funny with them. They still won. I keep reminding myself, they still won.
It's blistering in the second half, though. Hernandez.
Another super sub,
It's incredible. He forced Ron Vlaar to score an own goal.
He did.
Basically.
Do you know what? I honestly thought when I was watching the game, it was 1-0 to Villa, when Villa scored the second goal, in a weird way, I thought, that'll benefit United. Because at 1-0, it's you don't go all out, where it's 2-0. It's kind of like, right, you know, roll your sleeves up kind of thing and then bring on Hernandez.
It's a crazy fact with Andreas Weidman. I'm not sure if it's in the Premier League era or of all time, but he's the first Aston Villa player to score more than one goal against United in a single game.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think so. I think that's right.
How's about that? Do you think Hernandez would be one of the top scorers in the league, or the top scorer in the league?
Well, Ferguson said in the post-match, he said he's played himself into the team next week. He's picked himself next week.
Yeah. Well, he's been incredible.
I thought it was really interesting that
really good against Braga as well.
He was excellent. And United, Ferguson subbed off Rooney when they needed the goal as well, which is interesting. I think. I mean, I can't imagine him doing that in the past.
But Rooney's out for a little while, and they don't look any weaker for that.
And Aston Villa got such a young team. I mean, they've got Stevens,
Bannon,
Loughton, Bannon, Kieran Clark, Ashley Westwood, Andreas Weidman's young. Benteke's quite young as well. I mean, when you saw those team sheets, I really feared for Villa, but to be fair, they bypass United's midfield a lot of time.
That's where the problems are, isn't it? United's midfield. They need to make a big signing there, don't they, in the summer?
Well, maybe in January.
They talk of Schneider again, but is that a bit too?
It's
a bit crowded, is it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Van Persie. Well,
Paul Pogba would be good.
Yeah,
we said last week.
Apparently, he wanted to go and get 20 grand a week at Juve, the greedy sod.
Get him back.
I know, eh? Get on him.
I'd never celebrate against Man United, even if you're 2-0 up for me.
No.
don't run up and down the touchline.
Even if it's a minute to go.
Wait until the game is over and you've gone to bed and woken up and it still happens.
I'd celebrate a goal by getting the button and booting it out the stadium.
It was a great win for them. They scored three goals. Arsenal also scored three goals, but
that should definitely be enough to win at home against Fulham, shouldn't it? Yeah. That was 3-0, wasn't it? Let's move on.
Yeah. The Berbatov had other ideas.
Mikel Arteta, man,
goalie
match.
Ideas. Yeah, dear. He had an absolute mare, didn't he? But I think, to be fair to Arteta, he didn't have an absolute nightmare. But I think Vermaelen's got to take a look at himself as well. He should be dropped on form. Personally, I would make Arteta captain. Vermaelen, he's just got such little defensive discipline. He's always bombing around all over the place, and it's not a good example to set as a captain.
The thing about Arteta is that it's really easy to coach out of him, because this morning at training, the first day back, or if it was today, Wenger can just go up to Arteta and just go, everything you did at the weekend, just do the opposite. You're fine. That's it. So you got to do exactly the opposite of what you were going to do, and that's fine.
Put it in the net.
But I mean, the goals they conceded are the sort of goals Southampton are conceding. Do you know what I mean? Just really basic ones, stupid ones. just the basics need to be re-drilled into them, it seems.
Big Martin Joel, though.
Oh. Big lull. When Berbatov's in there, I mean, the penalty he scored. Oh, my goodness, the confidence. Yeah. Just for a tenth of that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody just rolls up, I'll get in. You're not saving that.
I remember it as if he was just smoking a fag as he did it. So casual.
Yeah. I mean, they talk about some players, I think we mentioned in Paul McGrath's profile, he played the game with a smoking jacket on. Berbatov's definitely one of those players. Yeah. A lot of people have said that particular thing.
He just
plays
just in front of the D and just sort of goes, oh, this is where I live. And he just goes left and right. And he just.
What am I
just
doing later? Am I, right, yeah, that's a goal. He scored a header. He scored a header as well.
He did.
Pop that in amber. Stick it on the end of an ageing and ultimately misguided entrepreneur's walking stick. Damn.
Oh, but it was a good game. Thrill. Chelsea Liverpool.
Yes.
One each.
Yep.
John Terry scored a goal. And then he got taken off after what looked to be a horrendous injury, though he's okay.
You actually heard that one.
Cathartic.
Yeah, was that Lewis Suarez?
Lovely to watch. That's what he said. Shut up.
Naughty.
Racism squared.
Yeah,
he's only had for 3 weeks, though, to be fair to him.
That's it.
He's strong.
To be fair to his bits in his knee.
Yeah. Suarez.
I thought Liverpool did okay.
Was it
Jamie,
Carragher's first assist since like 2009 or something? Yeah.
He's not playing Norfolk.
No, I know. I'm just saying it's quite a nice stat. It was a great header from Carragher, and then Luis Suarez scored, and it was brilliant because
no one celebrated with
yes.
him.
Yes,
I saw that.
he ran over right into the corner. Was probably going mental, and he turned around expecting that embrace from everybody. He was like.
That was it.
It's a weird one. I think they're getting into a position where they obviously rely on Suarez. And a few years ago, people talked about how Torres and Gerrard were what made them tick. But it's just Suarez at the moment because Gerrard's not scoring as much.
I think it was odd on Match of the Day too. Michael Owen, oh, tremendously boring.
Oh, of course. Even his moustache is boring.
That's how he laughs.
And it was funny because they were looking at some of the stats before. Not before the game, after the game, like the ages, average age of the teams, average heights, all this sort of stuff, and they're really pouring over it. And Colin Murray was obviously trying to get something going, and he said to Jason, "Well, so what do you think of that average age, sort of 25.1 or 25.3, whatever it was?" He's like, "Well, I'm just looking at the average heights there. Well, they're both 5'11 and a half."
Yeah. Well, it's the same.
I mean, I'm looking at that, not even 6 foot. I don't see what like it was utterly pointless television.
Just showed the goals. That's all I want.
Oh dear. But
Mata hit a shot over the bar, didn't he, in the first half?
What a loser.
Yeah, I know. I sell him. But it bobbled ever so slightly, and Chelsea's pitch is a lot better than it was, but you know.
Yeah,
is that cost them a game there? 2-0 up. You know, it's a very, very different game there, isn't it? I mean, you can't buy grass, is what this is showing.
But you can buy seed.
I thought that when Liverpool changed it up, they looked a lot better. They started off.
Yeah, that's
the back,
right. And then they went 4,
and then they looked a lot better. And Raheem Sterling does look the real deal.
He's
so confident.
Yeah,
and he doesn't look out of place for a 17-year-old.
He's a daddy.
He's the closest, apart from Suarez. He's the closest to. Really driving them on and really because he's a bundle of energy as well.
Yeah, which is remarkable considering this is his first season. I did find it funny. Jamie Redknapp was very critical of the man marking system for the Chelsea goal, whereas him Hoddle and I think Souness midweek had been doing that whole during the Champions League.
You can't mark a zone.
Zonal marking. I mean, what on earth? And then he was having to go man marking. I'm like, well, what do you want? Yeah.
Well, surely they're just
mark a man in a zone.
Surely the examples they're using are examples of where it's been done badly.
Exactly. Well,
that's surely reasonable to comment on.
But this is the thing, though, with people pick apart zonal marking so much, or when someone loses his man, that's man marking.
I mean, I think it was Sheridan Bird, who's a football writer, who wrote a piece about how Leeds, the famous Leeds side that won the league back in the 90s, used zonal marking. And the manager at the time would have been Howard Wilkinson. Said he always had two people in the penalty area for every set piece they were defending. If you see that ball, get out there and attack
it.
And I think a lot of teams use a combination of both.
Yeah.
But he was right in what he was saying, Redknapp, that it was easy for the striker to lose his man because they double crossed over, didn't they? But I mean, it's like saying that basically human beings are essentially fallible and they make mistakes.
That's right.
Everyone knows that anyway.
But this is what I'm saying. You know, to have a go at a system.
Well, half of football, certainly defending nowadays, is all about anticipation, cutting out the passes, and you know. They're drilled right throughout the week. Who they're going to be facing the weekend? They're shown a million DVDs and YouTube clips of.
It's a lot of DVDs. Whichever way you're looking,
it is. Yeah, but the vast majority of corners don't go in.
It's crazy. You know? It's crazy. It's
every now and then, one will.
It's like going to a supermarket and having a really slow cashier and taking ages to pay for your stuff, and they go, "I'm not going to supermarkets anymore. They're rubbish."
We'll go to the self-service checkout.
Yeah.
But sometimes they don't work.
Yeah. Mm.
You see, the system doesn't always work.
Please return your bag to the baggage area.
Ashley Cole, is he off to PSG? Well, his mum Sue has hinted on Facebook that he could
be
going
abroad. Are you friends with his mum on Facebook?
No,
how
I just
how and why
have I you poked Ashley Cole's mum?
I don't think so. apparently she put this on Facebook. Her cryptic message said, "Well, looks like he's going somewhere better here than the talk of Man U. Not too far on the Eurostar kiss." So he could be going to PSG, according to
He gets his push notification, he fishes the mobile phone out of his pants and goes, "Oh, that's me, mum.
It's me, mum.
It's me, mum."
That, I mean, that's a nightmare, isn't it, if you're actually called there? Your mum's leaked that on Facebook.
Leaked what, mum. Jim?
Well, it's pretty clear, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, that's fair enough.
I mean, you've drawn the PSG conclusion. I think any other sane person would.
publication I got it from drew the PSG.
You can go to Lille on the Eurostar.
Exactly. Listen to
I mean,
to
technically,
Lille.
You can go anywhere in Europe. So.
Yeah.
Interrailing with Ashley Cole. Love to see that.
Right, let's move on to another game. Everton 2, Sunderland 1. Fellaini's goal. just typified what he's all about.
His assist was amazing.
Oh, well, that was as well.
Through John O'Shea's legs.
An early contender for player of the season.
Yeah, he's in with a shout.
6 goals a season already, is he gone?
Jim and Mata, I reckon, up there.
Jelovic as well.
Well, Suarez as well, up there.
I just love watching games at Goodison Park on the telly. It's an amazing stadium.
Yeah. It's a great atmosphere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Leon Osman with his England call-up. Mm. Yeah. Age of 31, I think. Joey Barton was chipping off about that on Twitter.
Same.
Really?
Well, he's 32. Well, he's in his 31.
Yeah.
But saying, oh, what's the point? You know, why not Kevin Nolan by that rationale? Well, and me, well, that's another can of worms. Or
oh, God. Cheers, Joey.
Yeah, thanks for that. But
do
it was
keep
nice
us posted on your mad thoughts.
Yeah, yeah, it was nice to see somebody scoring a goal for Sunderland who isn't Fletcher. Yeah. It was Adam Johnson with a nice finish.
Are Sunderland actually really shit?
Yes.
They're just not scoring goals. I think that's the
not bad.
Isn't that a real symptom of being shit?
they've won one game out of 10.
To be fair, Pete's defending them, so they can't that.
If they go this way for the rest of the season, they'll win 3.8 games. It's not very good.
It's not a party with Marty.
Yeah. Yeah. But I hear their average height's about 5'10.
Well, that'll keep them up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Phil Jagielka's Movember effort is terrifying.
Do you think?
Awful, really awful.
That's early days, come on.
Yeah, fair enough.
Leave him alone. Newcastle United 0, West Ham United 1. Big Sam, Andy Carroll and Kevin Nolan against their old club.
Lots.
I love Kevin Nolan.
Do you?
I really miss him.
Big Sam will be dancing all the way down the M1. He'd be loving that, wouldn't he?
Absolutely.
By the time the coach got back to East London, he'd have his tie around his head, wouldn't he? Come on, boys!
I watched a match live, and then I watched him on Match of the Day, and Newcastle looked so much better on Match of the Day. I was like, wow, we were good. Why did we not win this match?
That was just because there was less of them.
a lot of booze for Carroll. In a way, it's like he's never left. Do you think that's
booze.
Fair? Do you think that's fair, Pete? Because he's repeatedly stated he didn't actually want to leave Newcastle, wasn't it?
Well, it's very theatrical, isn't it? I don't know. Well, it's just people on the terraces, I suppose, isn't it? What can you say? I wouldn't necessarily boo him, but I don't necessarily boo a lot of people.
Yeah, fair enough.
Boo.
Yeah.
Not one of the boo boys.
No.
Before we leave England, let's talk about Edgar David swearing on goals on Sunday.
Mm.
That was quite funny.
Oh, it's a disgrace. I'm really offended by it. Okay. I'm not.
Oh, you're not. Apparently he was training with a Sunday league side in London while living in Barnet. Two things I wouldn't have thought.
No.
Imagine that.
Sunday league side and living in Barnet.
Maybe Barnet looks nice through those glasses.
Did you get a game for the weekend? No, got to sign someone new player. Is he good? Yeah, he's not bad, yeah. Edgar Davids. Fucking hell. Never going to get a game now.
I'll play fullback.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Can you run the lines, but for fuck's sake?
In the last couple of matches that he's played, though, he has been shooting from about 40 yards. You're 30 or 9 or something like that.
What would you rather do? Shoot or give the ball to someone else?
Yeah. You can imagine him like getting caught, like, passing the ball, someone coming in with a big 2-foot. What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you kicking me for?
But imagine being like a more sort of restrained midfielder for that Sunday league side.
Yeah.
Am I going to play alongside him? No.
Yeah.
We don't need you in there. Yeah. He'll run the show. Although apparently he didn't, though, because he said that he played for them, and he said the first half went okay, and he said in the second half I was sitting on the bench, and you know what, I thought I'm effing Edgar Davids. Love that.
Yeah.
Love it.
But in that same interview, he was sort of saying that he was talking about playing for on the field for his current team, and he was sort of basically saying, I don't care if it's the new camp or not, I love playing football. And I'm saying, it's not the new camp.
Yeah, definitely.
It's definitely not.
Not
the new camp, Edgar. Mm.
I quite like the fact that he's enjoying playing, because I think that he obviously gives a lot of inspiration to the young kids coming through the gate and other players around him and stuff. And also, he gets to do, you know, carry on playing because he wants to. And he obviously a player enjoys playing.
He's probably not getting the money that, you know, he could command elsewhere, you'd imagine.
I know what you mean.
To be fair, when he was at Barcelona, I don't remember him going, well, you know, I'd happily do this for Barnet.
He was thinking it,
but
no one was asking.
But he wasn't aware of Barnet. No, exactly. At the time, you see.
Agent rings him up, got a deal for you. Where is it? North London. I know what you're thinking. Driving down the motorway, see Emirates go past. No, not this one.
We did turn out for Spurs, to be fair.
Hi Arsenal. No, not hi Arsenal.
Arsenal.
Hi Barnet, my friend.
Arsenal played the reserve games at Underhill, so do you reckon I reckon he takes his books along?
I think so.
Yeah.
Could do worse, Jim. Could do worse. Right.
Oh, because Wenger wasn't very happy about the Berbatov question on Match of the Day, either,
wasn't
it? No.
It was really odd, wasn't it?
Because he made up some weird answer.
He was clearly rattled by it, and he said, "Were we did not know he was available?" Of course, I knew he was available. Pretty certain you did.
Yeah. He put an advert and time out. Everyone saw it.
It is remarkable.
Berbatov. But I don't think Berbatov would have fit into Arsenal's style anyway, so it's a bit of a stupid question.
But what style does he fit into? I just say he's Berbatov, isn't it?
But yeah, but he's a bit more sort of cumbersome, isn't he? And sort of, you know. Yeah.
True, but for a player who would hold up the ball very well, and bloody hell, he knows where the goal is. I mean, Arsenal could do worse.
Yeah, but you could say that about any good striker. It's a really irritating thing to ask a manager.
Well, I suppose.
I mean, you could say to any manager.
I just love Berbatov,
you could say to any manager after a game that they've either drawn or lost in, well, wouldn't you have liked their best player? Of course I would.
By the way, Berbatov's not going to fit in there because he's not going to do whatever he wants, which is clearly what he can do at Fulham.
Yeah.
And he's not going to get away with smoking. Wenger's very famously all on the nutrition and all the sort of training methods and stuff like that. Berbatov won't be happy with that.
And he wouldn't be able to, chat to Martin Jol as well. That's probably
big Martin Jol, giving all the bear hugs. You see him walking across the pitch, just bear hugging everyone. It's brilliant.
How much would you love
like a big friendly bear that is also your uncle?
Most of the Fulham players didn't even want a bear hug. They're having one. They're having one.
Their ribs are still recovering.
How much would you love to play for Martin Jol?
Absolutely excellent.
When Spurs played Fulham at Craven Cottage, when Jol was still is in charge. They were all chanting at him, "You're Spurs and you know you are." They absolutely love him, Spurs fans. Right, we're going to Scotland now. And Hibs are top of the league.
Yes.
Yeah, let's start with Hibs, because now what else happened to a Scottish team this week?
not this week, no. Hibs beat Dundee United 2-1. They are top.
You are pathetic.
Celtic have a game in hand, though.
My goodness. Yeah, but they drew 1-1 at home to St Johnston.
They're rubbish, aren't they? What a rubbish week they've had.
terrible.
It's been embarrassing for them, isn't it, Marcus?
They are 2 points off the top.
They looked tired, didn't they?
2 points off the top. but they did beat Barcelona,
didn't they?
You can imagine them in the pre-meeting for the St Johnston game. Neil Lennon's trying to talk to them and just sat like, "Are you even listening?
Have you got an erection?"
You've had that since Tuesday night.
What a win.
I tell you, we did have an erection. Rod Stewart. First time in about 20 years, I'd wager. He was absolutely loving it.
Do you not see him on the Graham Norton show with Cameron Diaz?
No.
Nearly had one there. I'll tell you.
Fraser Forster was epic.
Oh, of course he was.
Is it another England corner?
Bargain. Yeah. $2 million. $2 million.
Yeah, but they all were, to be fair. They absolutely worked their socks off. And Tony Watt getting that goal.
He's
18 years old.
It's
that
incredible.
Is brilliant.
Absolutely incredible.
Wasn't Forster being called the Great Wall or something?
Yeah, that's right.
I like that. I love day stuff like that.
Yeah, it's quality.
They get a nickname.
Celtic only had sort of 16% possession or something. I think it was the lowest.
Scored twice.
No, I know, but wasn't it something like the lowest percentage for possession for a team to win a Champions League game?
I
imagine it would be.
An amazing achievement.
I mean, they did really well in the Nou Camp as well. So,
yeah, they did.
There were
very
warning
unlucky.
Signs there.
Very unlucky.
7 points in that group.
Oh, they've got every chance of qualifying. And that benefits the other teams in the SPL because they're going to have these games where they're knackered afterwards. Because, you know.
Although it's not all fun and games in the SPL, of course. No. Even though they got a great point away to Inverness Cali, Hearts are in real trouble. Mm. They're in real trouble and they need your support, ladies and gentlemen.
The Jam's Hearts.
Send all of your monies up there.
One thing I've learnt about this sort of thing in football, given that obviously I'm a Portsmouth fan as well, is that your football club will stitch you up as much as it can. Loads of high prices for tickets, not really care what you think, bring out a new kit every 6 months. Mm. But as soon as they go to the wall, get your hands in your pockets. Do you support us or what?
They're asking, buy 3 future high profile tickets or something like that. That Vladimir Romanov character.
Oh, he's
refused to put any more money in the club. I've read nothing of him. Apparently, there was rumours of vote fixing on Lithuania's Dancing with the Stars that he was on. And that's how he won it.
Priorities.
That is absolutely staggering.
That's amazing.
You've got to raise your profile somehow, don't you?
Yeah.
So, and in Lithuania, I wouldn't have thought there's too many ways of doing it.
The way football clubs teach fans is like your girlfriend going out for dinner with another bloke and then ringing you and demanding you go and pick her up. No, I'm not doing it. I've had enough of this.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
But there's people on Hearts forums talking about, you know, Tesco credit cards that you can apply for to get as many tickets as you can. It's like, it's embarrassing. It's not embarrassing for the fans, but it's depressing as hell. It's embarrassing that we're in this state.
So Romanov is...
I'd like to recommend Wonga, if anybody...
Their kit sponsor, of course.
So you're saying Romanov has said he's refused to put any more money into the club?
Yeah,
it's like he's so angry that he's put loads of money into the club and he's messed it up, that he's now going to start charging the fans to do the same.
Part of the reason it's happened is because they literally ran out of managers.
Yeah.
They used all the managers in the world, now there's none left.
Yeah.
So there's nothing I can do.
Animals next.
Yeah, it will be, yeah.
Disgraceful season.
Get that octopus.
But the Dons had a brilliant away win.
They did 4-1.
Right up there.
Aberdeen are 1 point behind Celtic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Could Craigie Brown get his hand on the trophy at the end of the season?
Probably I'll tell you not. What, and the
his
big
Craigie claws.
Big Graham Souness has tipped Joe Jordan for the Scottish.
Souness has done that, yeah. Because he ruled himself out.
That'd be nice.
So there's a bit of backing for Joe Jordan. Walter Smith is he's on the board now at Rangers. Seems like a good time to do it.
So he doesn't fancy it
as a non-executive director.
What does that mean?
Put your feet up, Walter. Yeah. That's what that means.
Probably the time to do it, isn't it?
Every so often he picks a phone up and just goes, ah, is he talking shite again? Just hangs up. And Archie Knox comes round for a coffee. And they go and play golf.
Well, Knox is Aberdeen.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
So, but I'm sure he finds a lot of time to do that.
I imagine Craig Brown lets him do whatever he wants.
Where is he? He's on the helipad. Come on, then.
Yeah, yeah. And as you say, it's not all fun and games in Scottish football. Bloody is. Bloody is.
Oh, what about Owen Coyle? He said he'd be interested in the Scotland job. We forgot about Coyle, as did everybody else.
I love the idea of that. I love him sitting having a coffee with the executive board at the Scottish Open. Like, I've quite fancied the Scotland job.
We had worried this was why you'd asked to come round.
You didn't even want to play for us.
It's around, around about the level, isn't it? The level of manager they're looking at.
I'd like to distance myself from that. I've seen the emails, Marcus, again.
All from the same person.
Yeah.
Oh, Jim. Yeah.
Neil Lennon. You fucking said no, Marcus.
How are Rangers Newco doing in third division?
They're top.
Top.
So easy. Make it easy.
They are going to walk this division.
They're going to win every game.
I asked Craig Brown who was going to win the Scottish third division. Would it be Rangers? He said it could be. Could be.
They're definitely in with the chance.
They're in with the chance, as with everybody else. Let's go to La Liga, where Barcelona beat Mallorca 4-2 away. Messi with a double, and he goes past Pelé's personal best of 75. Paul Pelé's 75 goals in a calendar year. He's on 76. He's only just 9 away from Gerd Müller's record of 85, which he set in 1972 for Bayern Munich and West Germany.
Yeah. I suppose this is kind of a rolling total, because you could sort of go, right, if he scores 5 this week, he'll get it.
Yeah.
If he scores 3 next week.
Oh, yeah, but then it's the calendar year.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So the calendar year can keep moving.
I think he's got 12 games. Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, but he's got 12 games left. Of this of 2012, I think. And he's got to get 9, has he?
Oh,
yeah.
So he couldn't be like, you know, I don't think July
it's
until...
From
no,
yeah,
so it has to be 2012.
I understand what you're saying.
For some reason, I thought it was Pelé who had the record, and then someone's like, "Oh no, it's Gerd Müller's record." I was like, "Why is it always talking about Pelé?" I thought, "Oh, Pelé's piping up saying he hasn't got my record," and he's believed half the population of the world that he had the record.
Yeah, I've got the record with 75 goals. What about Gerd Müller? I don't know who that is.
I love Gerd, but Gerd Müller's not mentioned a thing.
No, he's not.
Because he's got some dignity.
I had a brilliant bit of a vault fast, but I had a brilliant story about Pelé. You know, escape victory, the end scene where he does the bicycle kick and it goes top left. A lot of Ipswich team in the he does the bicycle kick, so the person who was on the crew was asked how many times it took for him to do the bicycle kick top left, and 3 takes apparently.
Right,
first take he does it completely, he top left, perfect, the cross comes in, he dispatches it with a bomb.
Oh my goodness.
Keeper saves it.
Oh,
and he goes, I'm sorry, and the director's going, what the have you just done? And he goes,
Pelé was like, I'm having that one, I'm counting that
one.
it was instinct, it wasn't bollocks, he just saved a freaking bicycle kick from Pelé. Second time he messes up, then third time he gets it. Oof. Right, lovely bit of work.
Amazing.
That's quality, that is.
Pelé's goal, was that over the line? Was that keeper's
like,
no, definitely not.
Yeah. Blimey. Real Madrid. Oh, sorry, Pete.
Lionel Messi.
Yeah. Real Madrid. They won 2-1 at Levante. Young Madrid forward Morata with the winner. He's one of the few come through the ranks at Madrid, because recently people have been critical of Mourinho, but comparing them to Barcelona, of course, who have very much so been bringing people through the ranks there.
Morata's got a load of goals for the B team.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
It's weird when you see a sort of a homegrown player from Madrid, because at first you see them and think, who is that?
Yeah.
As a fan, won a competition.
I instinctively think, where do they sign him from?
Yeah, exactly.
I honestly do that.
Mourinho said he's all about results and he really doesn't care.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to Mourinho, I think he has brought through more young players in his time in management as a whole than people give him credit for. Mm. But he certainly doesn't do it as much as other managers do.
Mm. Mm. But at least he's open in saying that that's not his priority.
Well, the thing is, all joking aside, it actually isn't. No, yeah, of course. Madrid wanted to win that Champions League, the 10th European Cup. And if he doesn't do that, he'll be judged on that. He's not going to be judged on how many players.
If you want to win, when you're a club like Madrid, it's people will beat you with any stick they can find, can't you? I think a part of being the manager there is just disregarding this sort of thing and just not caring.
Yeah. You see, Ronaldo's eye fell out.
Oh, it was horrible.
It was horrible, that.
That was a proper smash.
Luckily, the pitch is waterlogged, so it got cleaned. So he can put it back in. You can actually see better after.
The pitch was it was ridiculous conditions. And Mesut Ozil tweeted after the game, result from the Spanish Water Polo League. Levante 1, Real 2.
Jim. Bit of satire.
Jokies.
A bit of banter.
See, they weren't actually playing at the water, but...
Real Madrid's first goal was effectively a goal because it didn't touch the ground from the free kick.
Yeah.
Had it touched the ground, it had just stuck there. But a welcome introduction of a version of Who Let the Dogs Out when Levante scored. I think we could all get behind.
Yeah. Lovely stuff.
Yeah. And then Sergio Ballesteros came on.
That's a great name, Ballesteros. Yeah. There was a bit of a bust-up between him and Pepe in the dressing rooms after the match, apparently, and police officers were called to the scene, Jim.
He's a big old unit.
That's like the Hulk versus the Thing.
How old is Ballesteros? Is he like
35?
No, he's more than that.
Oh, no, 37.
Yeah.
Gordon.
He's
a big lad.
I mentioned an oak tree earlier. He is an oak tree, I tell you.
He's two oak trees.
You stay hit.
He's a fat oak tree.
He's a statue of an oak tree.
Players have exploded upon contact.
Oh, dear. Also, it's worth a mention for Granada beating Real Betis 2-1. In Betis, it was a great win for them. They're only 3 points off the bottom, Granada.
Betis were a good start. Yeah.
And Betis, they're up in fourth, 1 point above Malaga, who lost at home as well. So nice little,
it's all to play for.
Nice little stuff.
That third place is up for grabs.
Right, Serie A. Talking of ridiculous conditions, Lazio 3, Roma 2.
What a game!
But it's to the point of like, you can't play in there.
No, that was a brilliant game.
That game, that's one of those games. It just doesn't matter what the conditions are like. It will go ahead because it will be mental anyway. If the game hadn't been on, the weather wouldn't have been like that. The game caused the weather.
It has to happen.
Did you enjoy Daniele De Rossi being sent off?
It was a weird punch because he managed to punch him in the face, like not even looking at him, and then cuff him with the other side of his hand.
It was an actual proper punch. Like normally when a player gets sent off for punching someone, it's because they've lightly slapped them, but he properly, like, this is a fight in a car park that's just broken out kind of punch.
But I would like it to go on, if it was going to go on the record that I was sent off in a game for punching someone, I would have liked to get more purchase on it.
It was kind of, it was a backhander and then a front, and then a kind of front. He kind of did it. It was weird how he managed to do it without even looking at the player, though.
Yeah. The floodlight went out in one section of the ground at one point, didn't it? And at one point, both sets of fans were chanting, Letito, pay the light bill, which is the Lazio owner, Claudio Letito, who's like, you know, they're in a bit of trouble financially at times, aren't they, or have been. Both sets of fans were chanting that, and the Lazio fans underneath the light were holding up lighters and phones to try and replace
that's
the light.
That's quality, isn't it?
And Bon Jovi started singing.
Yeah.
A bit of Always, but Bon Jovi came.
Also, when Lazio won the game, the
and
guy
Jim
who...
Richard had a sing-song.
Lazio never had over, she was in goal.
You know they have the eagle, don't they, at the stadium?
Yeah.
The guy who handles the eagle brought it on to celebrate with the players. Brilliant.
Class.
Letito, I'm pretty sure it's Letito who's unpopular at Lazio because he doesn't spend loads of money he hasn't got. And he doesn't give all the merchandise rights to the hooligans and stuff.
Yeah.
If he's uniting Lazio and Roma fans, he's bound to be a bit of a knob.
Yeah.
Or is it?
There was trouble as well, wasn't there, before the game?
Was
apparently
there?
A Molotov cocktail went off. not even a joke, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's not funny.
Boy, but I'll tell you what was brilliant. Closer with a textbook.
Mm.
That was another one where, you know, had the conditions been different, that probably wouldn't have gone in or like been a goal because he got a bit of luck from the way.
Because it was a shot, wasn't it, that came across. But and Lazio's kit's amazing as well. It's really old school. Yeah. It's not a sponsor or anything. It's really nice.
Yeah. Juve had a big win away to Pescara, 6-1.
I just say one more thing about the run before you move on? Zeman on the bench, refusing to get off the bench.
Yeah.
For when Roma kept pulled it back to 3-2 or whatever it was, everyone was going mental. Zeman, I'm not going out on that.
Kind of like a disappointed dad as well, though.
Yeah, he was a little bit.
Team.
Yeah.
There's a certain level of just insolence that for a man who doesn't.
Pjanic's goal, though, the sort of almost consolation for Roma was quite special. Mm. The free kick with the keeper off the line,
absolute beauty. The keeper, the Rome keeper had a mare anyway.
Gokicea,
because of Stekelenburg's injuries, isn't he? He was really, really poor. That free kick that Kandreva scored, it was right at him.
Yeah, he slapped it in.
Yeah, it was weird, really weird.
Juve, they won 6-1. Paul Pogba was dropped for the match because he's been late for training twice. And his agent is Mino Raiola, who we spoke about last week, mouthing off about Zlatan and the Ballon d'Or. And he's been doing this. Now, you know, if Pogba's dropped for turning up twice late to training, then that's the club's business.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he said, well, whoever decided to put this news on the website is evidently confused. I hope it wasn't Antonio Conte's decision. Otherwise, it means he's unable to deal with these kind of situations.
Is he already trying to get his client another move?
isn't it horrendous when an agent starts trying to pipe up?
Agent
to
has no right to do that.
He does look after Zlatan and Mario Balotelli.
Yeah, he's so got to be a big personality.
That's very true.
Imagine that. Yeah, but it's funny. That's a fair point. But if you think of someone like Zlatan, I mean, wouldn't if it were me, I'd be annoyed that he was saying that. I'd say, look, I can speak for myself, thanks very much.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but footballers are so much looked after, and he would have probably brainwashed Pogba to say, like, I'll deal with all that.
Well, I think, you know, when you get to the point where you're like Zlatan, you're probably going to be happy with the cheerleader. He's going to be a yes man to him at any other time.
Yeah, exactly.
I suppose so, yeah.
Let's go to Norway, shall we? Where Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's Molde look like they've wrapped up the league again.
See what you can achieve, Dzeko, if you stick at it.
Do you know, Molde, I don't think they'd won the league in the history of the club, in their history. And when he took over in 2011, I think
they've won twice in a row.
Yeah, they've won it. Well, they've got a couple of games left. I think it's all but theirs, really.
And Solskjaer wasn't he relatively close to taking the Aston Villa job?
Yeah, there was talk, wasn't there?
Yeah.
He might have been mentioned with the Blackburn job, thank goodness.
Well, I think it's a chance he'll come to England. I mean, Sydney, he loves English football and that sort of thing.
Yeah, so. But he's had a remarkable time there, turned them around straight away.
It's funny, I've seen the footage of him training, and he seems for the footage I saw, he seemed to be doing it in Norwegian, as you'd expect. When he wanted to swear or really make a point, he was doing it in English. It was quite funny. Fucking shoot! Like,
I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
But there is a winner of a league, and it's in Brazil. Fluminense have won the Brazilian championship. We mentioned Fred at the start of the show, I think. He's their captain.
Well.
And instrumental in their success.
Hat or Fred?
Year. Fred.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, hat's made up, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah.
Difficult to tell the Brazilian ones. Yeah. Deco's doing well. Fred scored a ridiculous amount of goals.
He's only been there a few, because he was at Lyon, but I think he scored over 100 league goals for them.
Blimey.
In a few years, something like that. And Gum, as we mentioned.
Gum. For people who are unaware, Gum is actually a player.
Yeah.
We had Brian Gunn.
Yes,
Gunn's a funny second name, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
You know, Fred is actually a massive Scientologist.
Is he?
No.
Oh, really?
No, he's not.
No, he isn't, no.
It's just my lie of the week.
Hey!
Okay. Right then, I think we've got to get out of this. Let's go to Pete's game after this.
Good news, Ramblers. We have a betting partner. And our betting partner, William Hill, are offering to match any sporting bet from £10 to £25 when you, a listener to the Football Ramble, open a new William Hill sports account. Go to thefootballramble.com/William Hill to find out more and claim your free bet now.
All right, are you ready for my game?
Yes.
This week's game is called El Teleaddict.
I think that's
quite good.
Hey!
No, I like it.
Not of that. There is only 6 clues on this one, so you better get your heads on, right?
Yeah.
I came on for Dave Watson in my full debut.
Stop. Wayne Rooney.
No. Dave Watson's 50.
I don't know. I just looked at Everton. I thought he was going to try and. Sneak trick
past it. I was the 7th most expensive player.
Oops, sorry.
What the hell was that, Luke?
It's Summertime by the Fresh Prince.
Jesus.
Sorry, I paused it. Go on, carry on. Please continue.
You haven't even brought notes, you've just brought Summertime on YouTube.
In a way, DJ Johnny Jeff and the Fresh Prince is sort of notes.
But it's November.
They use notes.
Yeah.
So
they do.
Are you celebrating Summertime in the Southern Hemisphere?
Celebrate Summertime after El Teleaddict, thank
carry
you.
On, carry on.
I was the 7th most expensive player in Arsenal's history.
Ooh.
Stop. Andras Limpar.
No.
Good guess, though. Excellent guess.
Yeah. Not heard from him for a while. We still haven't heard
as
from
good
him.
As a wrong guess can be.
Yeah. debut for Arsenal. 2003 Community Shield. I came on as a sub, but then I got sent off.
Oh, Jim, this is all over you, Jim. You should be all over this, man.
Jim. Ding, 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 ding. Pull me out. Is that Inseam Spider? I scored.
Is that a clue?
I scored in my only full cap for England.
I'll start Francis Jeffers.
Franny Jeffers. There we go.
Fair play to getting it, but you should have got it earlier than that. I think you know that as well.
Joint all-time leading scorer for England under 21s and 13 goals, a record he shares with Alan Shearer. It's I am now playing that. In the Maltese Premier League. Good old Franny Jeffers.
I bet he's playing for Valletta.
The Maltese wrongin'.
I'd like to thank Louis Navarro for coming up with those clues. So thank you very much.
Yeah,
so a suggestion from the listeners.
I'm mates with the listeners. Pathetic.
Well done. Right, let's have some correspondence.
Right, it's a special correspondence section this week.
Is it?
In honour of Takefusa Kubo being named in the Don Balon list of the world's best young players at the age of 11.
Jesus.
The world's gone mad. The world's gone tits up.
Spun off its axis. It's tit axis.
I asked all our Twitter followers and Facebook fans what the highlight of their football careers were when they were 11 years old. There's some beauties in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I've read out a selection of them for you. D. Smith says, at 11, I was too fat to fit in the club shorts, so I was the only outfield player in tracksuit bottom.
Oh no.
Hashtag sob.
Dispensation.
Josh Bednash says, I don't remember much, but our coach once drove the whole team of us home in his car. Several in the back seat, three in the front, and one with his Alsatian in the boot. Now you're talking.
Why does he wear his Alsatian to a game?
Yeah. That's like my dad used to put me on his crossbar and like ride me to his nan's. My nan's
Scott Donaldson, no relation, I don't think. I once scored a lone goal at 11 when I tried to back pass to the goalkeeper who had left his goal to go and get a Jaffa cake from his mum. Who takes the own goal for that? See, I don't think the defender
takes it.
That's
not fair.
Jonathan 1182 says, my dad once ran onto the pitch with my glasses for me before I took a penalty in a shootout, shouting, you'll need these, son.
Oh, wow.
I buried it, he said.
Oh, dad.
Yeah. Friend of the Ramble, Murray James,
says,
my one and only red card was when my dad was the ref.
Oh, no.
I cried all the way back to the changing rooms and ate a Mars bar, then I became fat for 5 years.
Well done, dad.
A lot of bad dad shows in this so far.
That's right.
Hold your heads in shame, dads of listeners of the Ramble. Christy Mallion says, I come on as a substitute minutes before and accidentally got punched in the face by my centre back during a fight.
Oh my goodness.
This is one of my favourites. Niall McVeigh, who's actually contributed written articles to the Ramble in the past, says, I once went in the wall for a free kick when I was 11. The guy took it, I got hit in the groin, I fell to my knees, and he hit me in the face with the rebound. I was subbed off in tears.
Oh god.
And Danny McCready finishes us off by just saying, I got attacked by a bird on a beach. I don't know why that's involved.
Beach football.
Yeah, you may have to be, maybe.
Was there not one where his granddad took an air horn?
Oh yeah, my granddad. What, sorry, I forget who it was now. So that my granddad took an air horn to the game.
They're just too loud.
Keno, I'm on the bench, granddad. I don't care.
I think it was 11 when I brought my arm doing a Klinsmann dive. So there you go.
Oh, wait. Oh.
I pulled out at the last minute and stuck my arm out. Yeah. Idiot.
I don't think Barcelona prodigy Takefusa Kubo can relate to any of that.
No. Yeah, it's not the Ballon d'Or, is it?
No.
My goodness. Right, ladies and gentlemen, it's profile time. Oh, yes, it is. And in honour of Celtic beating Barcelona last week.
It's Rod Stewart.
It's Rodney Stewart.
Kicking footballs into the crowd.
Do you think Rod knew when the summer of love was?
We are sailing on again, across the sea. Do carry on, Marcus.
Summer time again.
Stop
there,
that.
Yeah.
Not when Rod's coming in to do it as well.
Yeah.
Very aware of the summer of love.
Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff will come in another time.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to have Celtics, Lisbon Lions.
Oh, about time as well.
Woof. How about that?
A bit overdue, I think.
Raw, surely.
Yeah.
Dickhead.
Raw.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, Lions don't woof.
No.
Everyone knows that.
Treat them right.
What you're doing, that's a dog. That is. You've seen it, it's a dog, yeah.
You're not a dog, are you, Marcus?
Lisbon's dogs.
Hey.
You'd be a fan of them. You love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. As would I. The game happened on the 25th of May, 1967.
Ooh, right in the summer of love. That's since Gascoigne.
Is that right?
I don't think so, no.
Is that the summer, though?
Well, doesn't the summer officially start in June?
Jazzy Jeff
queued up? Yeah, no. I'll do you a couple of things. One is, officially, summer solstice, I think, is on the 22nd of June, I think.
Mm.
So that may be for some people the start of summer. I've always gone by the PIMS clock, 1st of May to 1st of September.
It's summer when it gets hot. It's hot by the 25th of May.
Fine.
That's how I.
I think we should say it. Summer of love.
Summer of love.
Done.
This happened.
Is there an ATP on? Let's go.
Yeah.
This is one of the great stories from the history of the European Cup. where Celtic became the first British side to win the trophy, and they did it with a group of local players. They were also the first non-Latin team to win the trophy, as it had been previously won by teams from Spain, Portugal and Italy. The captain of that game, Billy McNeil, said, "I don't think you'll ever get a situation like this again. We won the European Cup with what was effectively a Glasgow District 11. Apart from Bobby Lennox, who was from Saltcoats, 30 miles away, we were all from within 15 miles of Celtic Park."
It's amazing.
That, that will never happen again.
Absolutely extraordinary.
And we bullied him relentlessly.
I mean, it really is remarkable. I mean, it's remarkable that a Celtic team existed that with that claim.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
If you see the lineups of the final against Inter, they're all obviously the Celtic team are all Scottish and the Inter are all Italian.
Yeah. But I mean, within 50 miles from Celtic Park.
It's amazing.
It's remarkable that there was a Celtic side with that that won the league and all the rest of it.
Oh, that'll never happen
again.
Became
champions of Europe.
Mm.
Just absolutely amazing. Now, Jock Stein became manager, the legendary Jock Stein became Celtic manager in 1965, and of course inherited a team full of homegrown local players who had come through the ranks at Celtic Park. And Stein himself had worked with a number of them in Celtic's youth academy and went about putting together an excellent side that played lovely attacking football and included the likes of Billy McNeil, Tommy Gemmell, Jimmy Johnson, who's a fantastic player, and Bobby Lennox. McNeil was the captain in the European Cup final in Lisbon and is one of the club's greatest players, I would suggest.
I reckon so.
Yeah. Playing nearly 800 games for the boys. That's Celtic's nickname, in case you're unaware. Celtic won the league in 1966, pipping Rangers to the title and scoring 100 goals in the process. And the following season, they started the European Cup campaign against FC Zurich in September 1966. We don't need another Summer of Love.
No.
So it's on the way.
The following teams were beaten on the way to the final. Nantes, FK Vojvodina. From the former Yugoslavia, that was in the quarterfinals. Dukla Prague in the semis, and of course Inter in the final.
Not that many matches then?
No, well, it's obviously it was a different format back then.
Oh.
So it's not really worth
that hard, then, is it?
Is it?
Screw it.
There's no load.
Let's put Will Smith and Jazzy Jeff in now. Stop this.
No dead rubbers in the group stages. Well, I'm out.
It's worth pointing out that Celtic, before that famous match in Lisbon, had already won the League Cup and the Scottish Cup.
Roberto Mancini's listening at the moment going, I could have won that.
They also won the league that season too. I think that's sometimes forgotten.
They won five trophies that year, didn't they?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
The Glasgow Cup was another.
They did, yeah.
They won everything they could have won.
Superb. Despite this, Inter were clear favourites, having won two of the previous three European Cups and had become masters of the Catenaccio system under the legendary coach Helenio Herrera.
La Grande Inter.
Yes, yeah, of course, yes.
They won it in 64 and 65.
They did, yeah. And 2 years previous to the final against Celtic, Inter had beaten an entertaining and free-scoring Benfica side, which had Eusebio up front for them, using this Catenaccio system on their home turf 1-0. Catenaccio system, of course, means door bolt.
Yeah.
You go ahead and you shut the door.
Yeah, if you watch highlights of the final that we're talking about now on YouTube, the amount of defenders Inter have got in the penalty area at all times.
It's ridiculous.
It's astonishing.
It really is ridiculous. Excuse me. So, Jock Stein had told journalists before the match, Inter will play it defensively. That's their way and that's their business. Our way is to attack. Win or lose, we want to make the game worth remembering. Just to be involved in an occasion like this is a tremendous honour, and we think it puts an obligation on us. We want to win this cup playing good football to make neutrals glad that we've done it and glad to remember how we did it.
I love that he said that's their game and that's their business there, because he's not been disrespectful to Inter for playing the way they do. He's just accepted it.
Well, they were incredibly successful with that.
And I think from what I can make out, obviously it's a bit before my time, but They were, as soon as that became undone, as soon as they lost this final, I suppose it started off the chain of events which meant Herrera left Inter. Mm. The press did sort of turn on Inter a bit.
They did.
And sort of said, well, you know, it's your own fault. This is going to happen sooner or later.
Mm.
You know, because Inter scored in this final very early on, didn't they?
They did, after only about 7 minutes.
And everyone was like, well, that's that then. You know,
Inter were actually in a position to win their own treble, it looked like, but they messed up literally all of them.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Right, I didn't know that.
They were on for the league in the cup, but they just had a couple of sloppy performances, and this was their last hope at winning something and salvaging something from the season.
Incredible. Before the match, Jock Stein told his players to go out and enjoy themselves, and Celtic were a goal down within 7 minutes. So
it's a pen, wasn't it?
So they're probably thinking, oh blimey, well, this isn't going to be too enjoyable.
Well, in a way though, that, I mean, it played right into their hands, didn't it?
Set
out so clearly what had to be done.
Well, I think Inter, when they beat Benfica, they scored, I think it was the 42nd minute, So in a set, it was weird. It was almost like Inter were always going to score. Mm. So better to get it out of the way.
Absolutely. Because that way they're then set up as their, you know, 11-man defence, and you've got to do your best bit. Well, best to unpick that.
You've got longer to figure them out and try.
Well, the commentator says when Celtic scored, the equaliser, oh, Inter have got to come out now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Inter go ahead. They're quite happy to sit back and shut Celtic out from there on in. And Celtic didn't panic. Despite being a goal down to an excellent side in 30 degree heat and in front of the world and whatnot, Celtic came forward to hit the bar. The keeper made a few saves.
He made some amazing Sarti, the goalkeeper.
He did, yeah.
Made some amazing saves.
And the plan was going to, well, it was going according to plan for Inter. However, Gemmell got the equaliser, lovely goal, around 60 minutes.
And lovely goal.
And the commentator, as you said, look, he said, it's interesting, before he said Inter will have to come out though, he said that could be the goal that wins it for Celtic.
Right, okay.
Very interesting.
There was also a situation where Celtic should have had a penalty.
Yeah, that's right.
And I couldn't really make out what. It's difficult to work out because from what I can make out on the footage, they don't have any numbers on the back of their shirt, Celtic. They just have stitched into their shorts.
Correct.
They don't have any numbers on the back, so it's difficult to see who's who. Mm. And someone sort of takes down one of their players, and the referee gives an indirect free kick in the area.
Yeah.
It's a very strange decision.
That is I guess he there was another decision where I think the keeper
pulls him down. Yeah, he just cleared off the line.
That's a definite penalty.
Yeah.
It's really nice to watch. It was that kind of time when black and white became colour, like footage and stuff, and it's all kind of like, it's like when you got an 8mm kind of film grain on it. Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's very nice to look at, for
lovely.
Sure. Yeah.
So Celtic then go all out against Inter and eventually get the winner 6 minutes from time through Steve Chalmers. It's a lovely scene where they're celebrating, and a man with a Jimmy Wiggan kilt comes on the pitch.
But
he's really restrained. He's almost like one of their fathers.
Pats him on the back and walks up again.
And then a steward comes over and it's like, oh, it's almost like we shouldn't be on here. Okay, well, let's go back then. You know, calmly they're both walking.
I'll be back on in a minute. And the whistle goes.
Yeah, and I won't be alone.
Yeah. Rod Stewart's here.
So on the all came Maggie May and all.
Yeah.
And everyone was on the pitch. It was incredible scenes at the end of that game because they'd done the impossible, you know, and to beat such an incredible side like Inter and the way they did it as well. And Mundo Desportivo of Lisbon said it was inevitable. Sooner or later, the Inter of Herrera, the Inter of Catenaccio, of negative football, of marginal victories, had to pay for their refusal to play entertaining football. absolutely remarkable story. Unfortunately, the following season, Celtic had a poor showing in Europe, and they lost to Dynamo Kiev in the first round.
Yeah,
which is a big
still knackered.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Considering the squads weren't as big back then.
Yeah,
and what, you weren't allowed subs?
I think you had
maybe a
one
sub
maybe.
You were allowed one sub keeper, but you were allowed to sub at half time. I think
that's right.
That's the rules.
And they won all those trophies. I mean. Yeah. No wonder.
Knackered.
They probably just didn't fancy. I would want that.
Yeah. Oh, we've completed football. Let's play something else.
We've got the Glasgow Cup next week. But nobody can deny that they're placing a football folklore after that incredible win in Lisbon with a team full of local lads. And as Jock Steen put it himself, we did it by playing football. Pure, beautiful, inventive football. There was not a negative thought in our heads.
Aww.
And then there comes a team in full of faith, ladies and gentlemen, the Lisbon Lions.
Is that why their friends were like Dynamo Zagreb? Because I think Dynamo Zagreb won the Fairs Cup in the same year.
Is that right?
And I think they're both Catholic sides, aren't they? So it's kind of there's a connection there as well.
I did not know that.
Interesting. Right, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the Football Ramble for this week. If you'd like to get in touch, the email address is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble, and the website is thefootballramble.com.
Yes, and don't forget we're doing Ramble Christmas Tricks on the 15th of December in East London. Get yourself on the list. show@thefootballramble.com. Or click attending on the Facebook event, and if you turn up in a Ramble t-shirt, you get a free beer.
How about that? Mm. Any more?
Yeah, I've got a show on Wednesday. That's the 14th of November. It's I'm trying out stuff for my 2013 Edinburgh show. Got two jokes so far.
Wow.
So it's going to be mental.
They're both terribly racist.
Double the value you normally get.
Yeah, indeed. But Angela Barnes will also be doing her excellent real show. Come down Queen's Head, Piccadilly Circus, November the 14th, Wednesday night. It's going to be weird.
Go. Right, that's it, isn't it? Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
And goodbye from me. See you next time, people. Even though it's not summertime, I'm still pleased it's summertime somewhere.
Is it a remix? I don't think it's a remix.
No, no, this is the original.
Yeah.
That's a great opening line for a song. Here it is.
Yeah.
Jazzy Jeff was always getting chucked out of the house by uncle, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like black sitcoms of the 90s always had like that sort of character that would always get chucked out. Sister had Roger. Mr. Cooper. Hanging with Mr. Cooper. They used to have a lad that used to get chucked out all the time.
Cosby Show.
Yeah, Cosby Show. I had a neighbour who used to come out and.
Okay.
You speak over the songs in your radio show as well, Pete.
Go on, hit him.
Watch it on your way home.
Yeah, right. Be quiet and listen to the best song of all time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.